holidays.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Say what you mean in your heart.
Is there a Christ in the
Thanksgiving?
In
Whoville?
Do who's believe in Christ?
That is, okay, now we've opened this up in a weird spot, but I do want to get into this because there's Christmas.
Yeah.
But there's no religion. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait a second. I was going to say there's no religion to speak of in these movies. However, we're talking about the 2018 Grinch.
Yes. Illumination presents The Grinch.
That's right. Highest grossing Christmas movie of all time.
My mind is blown.
$512 million. And at the time, so it was released November 2018, yeah. And they were tallying this in December 2020, so about a year ago. So it's had another year to make a moolah.
It's not like people didn't like it, but
I kind of feel like it came and went. Yeah, like it was like a huge part of the cultural landscape, but it just made all the money.
It's one of those things, it's one of those remakes where you feel like it's like jury duty. Like, yeah, of course. It's been 20 years since we had a Grinch.
Yeah, like, let's have another one.
Yeah.
The second highest grossing Christmas movie of all time is Home Alone.
That's like to date.
It's, yes. To
so Grinch right now has made more money than Home Alone ever made.
Ever made. So from 1990 to 2020 is when they calculated it. So it was 30 years. It made $476 million.
What?
In 2 years, the Grinch made $512 million.
It's got to be overseas. There's got to be some country that fucking
loves the goddamn Grinch. They love it. It might be my son because I've watched the Grinch out of the last 5 days.
Well, this season, what we're doing, this holiday season, what we are doing is we're talking about the Grinch, and we're starting with 2018, and we'll go backwards like a little Russian doll. We're gonna get closer and closer to the original text. So you might be saying, "Well, shouldn't you be starting with the Matthew Morrison?" Live. Was it live?
It was live, I think. Grinch Live, yeah.
The overly
it was NBC,
creepy,
right?
Overly sexy.
God in heaven. Oh,
Grinch.
Wow.
Yeah, I got through about 10 minutes of that.
Yeah, I know. I kept popping in to see if it was getting any better, and it wasn't.
You reminded me that a human being played Max the dog.
Yeah. It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting.
Yeah.
And Max is a whole musical number. And it's not very good. Like, the music is bad.
Do they do You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch?
It plays throughout, but it's...
They don't do it as a song?
If they did, I missed it.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Because you have two songs from the original cartoon, which, of course, is based on the book. You have two songs, the Who song.
Mm-hmm. They're like, Fa, Who, Do,
yeah, which you get a lot in this. You actually...
You get it a lot in each. That's like the one consistent thing.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of these franchises where like the things that work stick.
Mm-hmm. It's a cultural myth, right? The Grinch has become as much a part of Christmas, I think, in the modern era as Santa Claus. In fact, this Sunday, we're going to take the kids to like do a Santa photo op, and it's a meet and greet with Santa and the Grinch.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Will the Grinch be like roasting him the whole time?
I hope the Grinch is like stealing presents from behind him. Like, I hope he's just like in character.
Can I tell you something that I witnessed with my own eyes? And I know other kids have been doing this, but me and Jen saw this. The Santa at the Staten Island Mall, three kids came dressed as the three kids from Nightmare Before Christmas. And they brought like a bag. Like they were like capturing Santa. It was the coolest thing
that
ever.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, something else that's really cool is I've seen on TikTok that if you go to Universal Studios around the holidays, the Grinch is there.
Ooh.
And they do like amazing makeup. It's like a Jim Carrey Grinch.
Well, they have the land.
Yeah, they have Seuss Land.
Yeah.
So he's in Seuss Land, and apparently he's in character all the time. So
that's
he'll come
awesome.
Into the gift shop and like take all the stuffed animals off the shelves and throw them on the floor and then just leave.
Oh, any job in like a theme park where you get to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, people who work at Disney always say, like, the best gig is Haunted Mansion because you don't have to smile.
Oh, you just be, like, sullen the whole time.
You could just be a rude dick.
Uh-huh.
I guess the new one would be if you're a First Order
soldier. Oh, yeah, okay. You just yell at people.
You get to yell at random children.
You could be or one of the evil characters, like the evil queen or Gaston. They always hire like great people to play them because they have to like fight with the guests, basically. That's true.
So Illuminations, mm-hmm. The Grinch, not How the Grinch Stole Christmas, just mm-hmm. The Grinch.
Yeah.
It came out in 2018. Mm-hmm. Which is shows how old I am, because I remember when it came out, I was like, didn't we just do this? No, we didn't.
No. Because the other one came out in 2000.
Yeah. We did it 18 years ago, buddy. Yeah.
remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. That's the Jim Carrey version. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Boris Karloff animated version, which is only like half hour. It's a short
it's
little
It's very
thing.
Short.
Because it's a short little book. It's like 62 pages or something.
Yeah. It's a bedtime book. Like we can do it at bedtime without it being too crazy.
It was published by Random House in 1957. Mm. It also around the same time came out in Red Book magazine.
Really?
Yeah. I like this version a lot.
So do I.
I liked it when I first saw it. Mm-hmm. And watching, but then since I saw it, I have watched the Jim Carrey again mm-hmm. and then watched this again.
Yeah. I think they're both strong. I like every version.
That's probably the one I like the least.
Okay.
But it still works. But I tell you what, both the Jim Carrey version and the 2018 version, they both have a job to do, which is how do we pad a very short story? Mm-hmm. And I think 2018 does it better.
Yes, agreed.
Because the Jim Carrey version decides to like do a lot of his backstory and mm-hmm. add a love interest for him mm-hmm. and a lot of that, where the 2018 Grinch says let's add more to Cindy Lou Who and let's add this whole story of her trying to capture Santa mm-hmm. and her mother being a single mom mm-hmm. all of that I think is better. More story.
Yeah, well,
fresh material.
So they kind of evenly split the padding, we'll call it, between Cindy Lou's arc, which is she doesn't care about the Grinch. She's not interested in the Grinch.
She wants her mom to be happy.
She wants her mom to be happy. She sees how much her mom is struggling, and she wants to talk to Santa.
Right.
And
who's not really a presence in other versions of the Grinch.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. He's never seen in any of the versions.
Yeah.
And he's not in the book. So,
but I don't even know if he's talked about that much. I mean, the Grinch wears a Santa costume.
Yes, in all three
versions.
But
I feel like
this even one, he wears a beard for the first time, which is interesting.
Even though you don't see him in this movie or any of the movies, mm-hmm. it's the first time I feel like he's a presence, like at all.
Okay.
Like they also in this movie play Christmas music, real Christmas music that exists in our world.
Yes.
So there are some
Real in the Jim Carrey one, they're playing like Smash Mouth Christmas songs that are like only for that movie.
I don't know about the Who world. I've never seen Horton Hears a Who so or Reddit. So I don't know where it exists or if they're... Are they microscopic? I don't know what they do.
In the Jim Carrey one, it looks like they live in a snowflake. And in Horton Hears a Who, they're also extremely small because they like live in an elephant's ear, or they're like small enough to like be on a leaf or something like that.
In this version, it feels like they live, I mean, they're Who people, but
they live in the mountains, it looks
like. Yeah, and it seems like, I don't know, it seems like our world. They've got Santa.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got our Christmas music on top of the Who song.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say about the religion part before is, I think they're when the carolers are following him through the town, they're singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. So it's like a religious carol.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they say like Lord, or I think they might say Christ in it. It's a weird one because it's just an intense carol. So like that's why they include it, I think. But it is a religious carol.
Yeah. We should say this movie was directed by two people, Yarrow Chaney and Scott Mosier, who is mostly known for producing a lot of Kevin Smith's early movies, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy. And composed by Danny Elfman.
Yes.
Who I think does an awesome job.
I think he's, I was surprised to see that it was him because I didn't know it was him and I usually know it's him.
Right. He's very.
It's like la 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 la.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because you think he did Nightmare Before Christmas.
He did Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah.
You know, it's like going backwards.
The Christmassy stuff with Edward Scissorhands. Like he does. I mean, it's
but
funny because
nothing
he's
dark
like a Christmas
about this.
Guy. Like Batman is, there's a lot of snow and Christmas imagery.
Right.
There's nothing dark about this.
Actually, I really love that. Like, just watching this movie, it made me think, like, if I saw this as a little kid, I'd want to live in that world.
Me too.
Like, when they light the big tree, And you got Angela Lansbury as the mayor.
She says like two sentences, and right. I'm happy.
Much
she's
better
there.
Than Jeffrey Tambor as the mayor in the.
Oh my God! Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, we didn't even talk about who plays the Grinch.
Yes, let's.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
And I know you're a Cumberbatch.
Oh, well, I mean, who isn't? Who among us?
Yeah. And I like his voice. It's not, you know, I make fun of how bad his
Doctor Strange is. Yeah, I feel like he got it for the Grinch.
Yeah, he's also, to compare him to other Grinches, mm-hmm. Jim Carrey is doing a Boris Karloff impression. For the most part, he'll go higher and lower, but his base level is Boris Karloff. Mm. And that's not at all what this Grinch is doing.
Well, I think if Benedict Cumberbatch used his normal accent, it would seem like he was trying to do a Boris Karloff.
What do you mean?
Because it's so like... He's done two voices, right? Well, maybe more than that, but he's done like Smaug, and the Grinch,
yeah,
right? And one is like deep and like crazy sounding. Yeah. And I thought like when I saw that he was cast as the Grinch, you know, way back when, because it's supposed to come out a full year before it came out. I don't know why it was pushed back. I'm not sure.
They were like, this is going to be the biggest movie of all time.
Let's just
pleasure delay.
Let's just push it off. Yeah. Let's edge ourselves with this movie.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to come out in November 2017. It came out in November 2018.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing like teasers and stuff for it. And then when it finally came out, I was like, didn't this come out last year? Right, like, what is this? But he has this like deep, rich British accent and he doesn't use it at all.
No, he affects a sort of high-pitched nasal voice.
It's a great voice performance.
I think it's great.
Having heard it now 5 times...
Yeah, why'd you watch it so much?
Oh, Henry's obsessed with it. He's obsessed with The Grinch. The Grinch is on our record player. The Grinch is in our bookshelf. The Grinch is, it's everywhere. The Grinch is everywhere. The Grinch is about to be an inflatable on the front lawn.
Nice.
So it's what he loves most about Christmas. And we indulge him. Where we like to spoil him. So, but I like it too, so I don't mind.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's good.
It doesn't drag.
He doesn't throw away one line. Every single line read is a good line read. Yeah. And I'm amazed by this because I'm like, wow, he's really invested in this performance. Like, good for him.
Yeah, he does a great job. And
it's the kindest Grinch.
Yes. Well, visually, they give him human eyes, where the Grinch often has yellow, kind of scary eyes.
Yeah.
This Grinch has white eyes with green pupils. So that's a big difference that makes him more cuddly. And this Grinch, he's not evil. He also doesn't read as old either.
No, he doesn't. He says for 53 years I've listened to them. Yeah. So he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
Maybe he's Grinch's age.
He's more like a curmudgeon. Like he and also this Grinch seems much more angry at commercialism. Whereas like Jim Carrey's Grinch had like personal vendettas against people.
That was a lot about commercialism too, though, I would say. Like they're so materialistic. The dad works at, we're going to talk about that. I guess you can't talk about one without talking about the other.
No, of course, yeah.
But the dad works at the post office and the whole time it's like people are like rushing in doing packages and like the whole scene with them shopping. People are like shoving money at the cash register and they're having that lighting display competition.
But is the Grinch, the character of the Grinch, it seems like why he hates Christmas in the 2018 version is because of commercialism.
No, I don't think so. I think he doesn't shy away from commercialism. He hops into town to buy stuff all the time. I would argue more for the Jim Carrey one, he hates the commercialism because he lives in their garbage. Like he has this whole speech when he comes down to the festival. He's like, what do? You buy all this stuff. You run out to buy all this stuff and then you throw it away. I know because I get it all. I get all this stuff you throw away after Christmas and I live in it and I live in this garbage. Whereas in this one, it seems like... One of the things about the Jim Carrey Grinch is the Whovillians are not good people. They are greedy. They are really materialistic. They're petty. They're competitive.
There's politics
bullies.
Going on. That's weird.
Yeah. They are not nice. And he's right to hate them. Like, he really is. And Cindy Lou is that, like, just, like, one little glimmer of hope that there might be something good. And she's not interested in Santa at all in this one. She's interested in the Grinch. And she keeps asking him, like, what is the meaning of Christmas? And he tells her toys. And she's like, oh. Like, she's disappointed there isn't more to Christmas than this. And it's like in that version, the Whovillians need to learn a lesson and the Grinch is there to teach it. Whereas in this one, the Grinch needs to learn something about himself.
Yeah.
Because at the end, he's like, I stole this from you to fix something that happened years ago. Like that broke in me a long time ago.
Because he was an orphan. And
seemingly at just abandoned orphanage.
Right. And he had no Christmas.
No Christmas. And seeing
which is so much better than like having his heart broken.
Yeah. And
like,
being bullied for being a weird Grinch.
Yeah.
But in this one, he learns a lesson of like love and acceptance from the Whovillians. Like they all seem like good people who are just like really into Christmas
in a very big way.
Like they're extras.
They have sled buses. I love their world.
The world is amazing. All the little gadgets that they have, like the male like bobsled that goes around town and like all of her little gadgets and ways of getting around Cindy Lou.
This Grinch is an inventor.
Yeah.
And other ones really weren't. Like, the Jim Carrey's Grinch is like the Penguin. He's like you say, he lives in trash.
Yes.
This Grinch actually lives in a really cool place. He lives in like
really kind of cool.
Like a nice apartment that's carved out of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very clean and stuff. And they really lean into like he's an inventor.
Yes.
He has all these different inventions and, you know, Rube Goldberg stuff going on.
Yeah. He's the only Grinch who doesn't appear to live in poverty.
Right.
Like, I'm always interested in why the Grinch as a character really captivated its audience in the beginning and like has really held on. And I think it's just this story. I mean, it's a story of a societal outsider, right? Who like everyone's supposed to be obsessed with Christmas. And I like that the Grinch is there every year to be like, you know, it's about more than this. Like what we're doing, rushing out to the stores. I mean, because it's always about capitalism, really, at the end of the day.
Right.
What we're doing, it's about way more than this. And seeing him live in like a really bare cave in the first one, and then he's living in trash in the second one. And this one, he's kind of got nice digs. He's coming up. He's moving up in the world. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think this one fully realizes Seuss's illustrations to like all the weird little automated gadgets and things that he has in the book. Yeah. I love that. They all kind of get how like fuzzy the Whos are supposed to be.
Yeah.
This one is great. Like everyone has just like a lot of texture.
I think in the Jim Carrey one, the Whos sometimes are a little uncanny. Whereas I really love them. I love Cindy Lou Who in this. I love that she's like kind of spunky and she's kind of like short with a big head. Mm-hmm. And like she'd be like, I'm going out to see Santa. And like I just love, and she has friends in this and the friends have characters. I just really like what they did with the character. Because, you know, in the book, the character is a baby.
She's like two.
Cindy Lou Who, no more than two.
Yeah.
And she just sees him.
Yeah. Why, Sandy Claus? Why?
Yeah. And then, you know, in the Jim Carrey one, she sings that song and she's like super sweet and perfect, whatever. But in this one, I really feel like she's like a kid. She's like spunky.
Yeah.
I really like her attitude in this one. Something that they repeated that started in the Jim Carrey movie is they find a reason for him to go to town very early and bump into Cindy Lou Who.
Yes. But in this one, nobody seems to fear him.
Right.
He's just like integrate.
He's not infamous.
No.
In the Jim Carrey one, he's infamous.
Like, he's like an urban legend in the Jim Carrey one.
Right.
And he goes into town masked in a truly like scary looking rabbit mask.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like burping in people's faces with a green mist and like basically just goes into town to like sow chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
But here he's just going for groceries, but he's just like mean and rude to people.
Yeah.
So he's still being grinchy.
I love what he does with the lady with the jar.
He
like puts it on a high shelf.
Yes. Like, and she's like, excuse me, are you using that? And he's like, no. And he just puts it back on the high shelf. And she's like, well, that wasn't very nice. And he kind of bumps the shelf so it falls off.
Yeah. I like his attitude.
Yeah. He's not nice to people. He's very nice to animals. Like, he's good to Max. Like,
right, which is often in depictions of the Grinch, he's a real asshole to Max.
He's so cruel to Max, which makes it hard to like him.
Max does live in servitude. He does make him a latte every morning.
Yeah, But I don't know. It was refreshing because he says kind things to Max. He cheers him on. He treats him well. Reindeer likes him.
Right. There's a whole, some of the narrative padding in this is
of his planning.
Right. His planning. And he's like, I got to go find reindeer. Mm-hmm. And he finds this gigantic fat reindeer who like at some point goes and wants to either finds the family or finds his family.
I feel like it's his
family. So he lets him go.
Yeah, he's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Then he comes back at the end because he liked him so much.
There's the screaming goat, which is a joke they also did in Muppet Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah. Just
the goat scream. It's the last thing that happens in this movie.
He's nice to the goat at first, though, too. Because he's like, oh, sorry, little goat. And then the goat screams in his face.
He's like Tony Soprano. He has heart for animals and no human beings.
Yeah, he's really not into humans. Although, what I didn't know I needed was the Benedict Cumberbatch Kenan Thompson team up.
I love him as like the Flanders, like the neighbor who's like
Sprinklebomb.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also like every time, like he'll just be so insulting to him, but he won't like let it.
He's like, all right, Grinchy, I'll see you soon.
Right. And he also
at the end when he makes the speech, he's like, that's my best friend.
Yeah, he's so good. And he also, he steals the sled from his house.
From his house, from the roof of his house.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I think in this one, I mean, because when he's invited to the Christmas dinner, I mean, everyone is suspicious of the Grinch in the Jim Carrey one when he's at the Christmas festival. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then they kind of start getting into it. And then he gets bullied by Jeffrey Tambor. That was on the set. But then in the movie, the character played by Jeffrey Tambor also bullies him. And he, it just all ends badly. In this one, the second they're like, oh, the Grinch needs a place to come for dinner. Sure, no problem. Come on over. And then they're like, hi, Grinch. And then welcoming to him. And they feed. And nothing goes awry. It's just like a nice story for a Grinch story. I think it just ends well.
Yeah. And I like his sort of encounter, you know, the key part of the story is he steals Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he uses like inventions.
The gadgets, like the candy cane.
He's got the candy canes. Sometimes it's a grappling hook. Sometimes it's a glows. Light.
Yeah.
Like I love
it's
all
like
that.
It's like a helicopter. It is the coolest.
And he also has like these like
shoes that like lift him up. And
So he can walk from one house to another, one roof to another.
You kind of feel better for Max because then I'm like, well, why didn't he just make the sled automated? And it is because then Max just kind of like sitting in a like sidecar and the sled is going on its own.
But when he meets Cindy Lou Who, which is when he's met her before, but when he goes to her house last, she's the last house, which is in every version of the story.
Yeah.
He falls into a trap that she set for Santa.
Yeah.
Like, I just like that they both have something they were trying to do. And then
they meet because of it. Yeah.
And I think he's inspired by the fact that she doesn't care about material things.
Right. That she just wants her mom to be happy.
Right.
But she explains to him at
her
that
mom Rashida Jones.
Yes. Who plays like a nurse, I think.
Right.
She's because they have her on the night shift. She's trying to catch the bus.
Right. It's just twin little brothers.
Twin little Buster and Bean.
Yeah.
they're great. She's explaining to him like what they do on Christmas because she's like, oh, I wish you could be there with us tomorrow. Like in the morning, we all join hands and we sing. And she's like, when you close your eyes, hearing everybody sing, it's like all the sadness in your heart goes away. And he's like, that sounds really nice.
Yeah.
He's like, I really wish I could be there with you.
Yeah, that's an interesting, like, throughout the movie, that's like a running joke of him, like, kind of being seduced by it. Like, he's fighting that he likes it.
Yeah, yeah. He's looking through the book and he's like, oh, look at this gingerbread house. It's really nice.
Well. Yeah.
But it's always togetherness. And that's what is alluring to him because obviously that's what he craves so much in his little tiny Grinchy heart.
Yeah.
And it's also what repels him because when he sits in front of the fire, he's like, it's better this way. Like, it's better to be
that's
alone.
So sad.
When I can't, right? It's a great line read.
Yeah.
They animate his eyes like
it's this
a
way.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so sad because it's like the aloneness becomes his strength. Because it's what hurt him so badly when he was a child. Like seeing everybody else with families.
Yeah.
Like to open himself up to the possibility of love is too scary for him. And then the Who, in this one anyway, like Whoville is love, right? Like everybody is loving and they want to give you food and they want to sing songs to you and they want you. And he's like, no, I can't. It's truly like one of those movies where he is a character. It's like one of those. It is a movie where he can't accept their love.
Yeah.
Like he can't love. I feel like he can't love himself. So he can't accept their love.
It's kind of like he's sad and he doesn't want to be part of things. And then
Christmas represents everything. It's like assaulting him how alone he is.
Right. Whereas like in the Jim Carrey one, I feel like he's a dick, and then
he's right to be a dick because they're mean.
But then he gets screwed over and he becomes like real maniacal.
Really worse. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, I was right all along and I'm going to take everything from them.
Now I'm going to murder every child.
Basically, yeah.
So how do you feel about the Tyler, the Creator version of the You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch song?
It's fine. I like Tyler, the Creator just in general, but I would say compared to his other raps, it's like pretty toothless.
It's also like not a rap. It's like I listened to it today. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like him kind of just saying words from the original song.
Yeah, he's like, you're a mean one. You really are a heel.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're a bad banana. It's like, okay. Like it is interesting that, like, again, it's one of those things that they've tried to keep with it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey actually sings it.
He sings it, yeah.
And it's in a bunch of different voices.
He's got a pretty good voice. Yeah. I was surprised at.
Yeah. I guess you have to deal with it. Like, it's you kind of can't not have it.
Yeah. It's one of my criticisms that you don't have a stronger version of it because it is such a part of the
it's also become
Grinch.
A famous Christmas song.
Yeah,
like it the song as well is like something you hear on the radio every year. It's like
one of my other criticisms is I don't think Pharrell is a really strong narrator.
Yeah,
he's like fine.
Yeah, why is he the narrator?
I don't know.
And
I just think Tyler, the Creator, could have done a better job. I feel like his heart wasn't in it. It was a good paycheck, probably. And
in the original cartoon, isn't Boris Karloff the narrator as the voice?
Yes, he's the narrator and the voice. And then Thurl Ravenscroft does the song. It's eye candy. This one
it really
is just
so beautiful.
Really?
I love the tree. I love that all the Who's. Like, the tradition is each Who family makes a giant ornament for the giant tree.
Yeah. She makes an angel that looks like Cindy Lou.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
I love that the kids have, like, they have their little tree house. I love a good tree house in a movie.
Me too. Why is it so far away? I think it was just an excuse to show us, like, the cool.
Yeah. It just looks like such
snow
a cool,
bike
like,
thing.
Yeah. It's such a cool looking world. Let me ask you. I always think about the narrative sort of connection between the Grinch and Scrooge.
Okay.
Because they're so similar.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture, they're often interchangeable in terms of like insulting people. Like,
you're a Grinch, you're a Scrooge. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although one is rich and one is poor.
Yeah.
One is very materialistic and one, I guess, hates materialism.
Mm.
So they're different, but it's just weird that they're both. You know, I wonder if when Seuss was creating Grinch, he was thinking about that at all. They're also like, think about the onomatopoeia of it, like Grinch, Scrooge.
You're Scrooge. They're like both, harsh sounds that make your mouth like kind of purse up when you say them. You're like, grit your teeth when you say them.
And they both don't like something that we're all supposed to like, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's what makes them crazy. We all love this thing and these people don't like it.
But I think it's sort of like the I was gonna say Grinch is more like a Krampus type character where like if you don't get what Christmas is all about, he's gonna come take it from you. But I guess there's always that there has to be like a little bit of the sour with the sweet when you're celebrating these things. And I guess it's something cultural that we've known for a really long time that like it can't all be like candy and presents and like fun,
like
lights
Krampus.
All the time. It's gotta be like no. Like what you have and be thankful for what you have because it could be, I mean, the Grinch is the true specter of death that haunts us every day where know what you have. It can be taken from you at any moment by a Grinch, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll take your fucking tree.
He will take all your food for some reason.
He fucking takes everything.
Well, I guess he needed food.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just hungry.
I like that he had on his sled like a countdown of every house.
Yeah.
Like this Grinch really had a good plan.
He had a great plan.
He like
he
really
did recon.
Put it together.
He sent out the drone.
Yes, the drones. I loved
that
it.
That was cute. Usually I find scenes in kids' movies, because now of course I watch like a ton.
Yeah.
Scenes in kids' movies that are trying to pad the story as like boring. Like the Zemeckis, I don't know why he decided to go into Christmas movies so hard, but
there's a good Patrick H. Willem video essay of what the fuck has happened to him.
Okay.
And like why he just decided, like his last three movies were like weird CGI movies.
They're so
like Beowulf.
Yeah.
fucking Scrooge, and yeah, then Marwood.
Oh, wait,
the one with Steve Carell. Marwin? Marwin.
Okay. Well, he also did Polar Express.
Right.
And yeah. The Polar Express is another, it's like the Grinch in the sense that it's a short book.
Yeah.
There's not a lot there. And instead of deciding to like write a story, he decided it would be better to have like the train go off the tracks on the side of a mountain, and yeah, there's like this long thing where they're like running on top of a train, and they have to, and it just, it goes on like a Matrix car chase. And then the same thing happens when they get to the North Pole. They're like in and out of chutes of presents that the elves are trying to control, yeah, and it's like takes forever, and it just bores me to tears. Whereas this one, these scenes were exciting, they weren't boring, they were fun. Like he's looking for a reindeer, he's doing a drone, yeah, look of all the houses, he does like the string with the model of the town, and he's making his plan.
Yeah, I mean, even though this one is just called The Grinch, which is very modern movie titling,
Grinch
this
vibe.
Grinch was about stealing Christmas.
Fast Grinch.
Yes.
Two Grinch, Two Furious.
G2. This, you know, stealing Christmas is the deal.
Yeah.
And he does it.
He does it well. He does it, I think, better than any Grinch. Also, we noted that in each version of the Grinch, Whoville becomes bigger.
Mm.
Like there's more and more houses. Whereas I feel like in the Jim Carrey one, you don't get a feel that this place is like very big.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, it's a set, and I love the set. Like I'm in awe of like the craftsmanship that went into building those things. But like, and this is an animated movie, you do a lot more. But it just feels like a bigger place. And over 200 houses, right? I think he says.
Right. And Cindy Lou Who's the very last.
That's right. She's at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
I love The Grinch.
Me too. In 1997, the Macy's had like a Grinch. They were selling for Christmas a Grinch like stuffy that's heart would light up. And he came with a little small version of the book.
Aww.
And I got it for my mother, and she still has it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You could find them on eBay, though. They were a cool little collectible.
That's fun.
The Grinch has become a sort of part of Christmas lexicon.
Well, there's been a lot of tree lightings in the area lately, and almost every event says, like, with a visit from Santa Claus, and most of them are like, and the Grinch.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, this Santa thing, it's just like a mall Santa thing, but yeah, the Grinch has has his own photo section where you can go see the Grinch as well.
It's also, like, far and away the most popular Seuss thing, right? I mean, Cat in the Hat is number two.
I would say he's a far number two. Yeah. Although, I mean, I guess because it's a holiday theme thing, the Cat in the Hat is the logo. It's like his Mickey Mouse, but yeah.
Right.
The Grinch is the Grinch.
The Grinch is.
Yeah. Every year he comes back out. It doesn't matter how many years it's been. It's always the Grinch.
Right. And it seems like every version is like a part of it. No version seems to cancel out another version.
No, it's its own thing, which I like. And I would say this is the lightest in tone. The Jim Carrey one is definitely the darkest in tone. And the regular Grinch kind of, I would actually sits closer to the Jim Carrey one. This is pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
For a Grinch tale. But it's nice. I don't know. I just like it.
Have you ever seen the 1977 Halloween special, Holiday is Grinch Night?
Oh, God, no. But I think we have it because we bought the original Grinch as well on Amazon Prime. And it came with a bunch of things. Like, have you ever seen the
Cat in the Hat gets Grinched?
The Cat in the Hat gets Grinched.
You fucking bet I have.
Holy shit. That's a whole episode in itself.
The crossover of the century.
Why on earth is the Cat in the Hat trying to psychoanalyze the Grinch?
I don't know, man.
It's so strange.
I haven't seen that since I was a little kid.
Okay. Don't revisit it because it's awful, but
if you were going to.
At one point, like, the Grinch is lying in a psychologist's office, and the psychologist is the Cat in the Hat, and he's trying to, like...
What?
I don't know.
Hey, remember when they followed up the Grinch movie with the Mike Myers Cat in the Hat movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
Happy Christmas.
Welcome Christmas.
We
weren't going to start with the Martha May. Hi. Hi.
We can start however you want.
All right. Well, we're going to start it.
What's that, the Martha May hi? When he jumps into her boobies?
No, when she sees Betty Lou putting up her lights and she's like, Betty, hi.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Christine Baranski is Martha May.
Ugh, a legend. A legend.
Well, happy holidays, Jen.
Happy holidays to you.
Welcome to the PCMC holiday special.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great for you to be had.
What?
What? So, on this year's special, we're talking about Dr. Seuss. Yeah, that's right. That's how you say it. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Specifically, we're talking about the Ron Howard-directed 2000 film starring Jim Carrey.
The most iconic version.
Why do you say that?
Because it's everywhere. It's influenced so much.
I agree. This is where the Grinch went from a mean old man to a sassy dick.
Yeah, we love it.
He's actually, I think, very... When I watched it again, I was like, you know, he reminds me a lot of Robin Williams' Genie.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that. It's a lot of I'm making references and being manic, and I'm saying things that I shouldn't rightly know, like making therapy jokes.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, why would I know that? But I do.
Oh, yeah. Also, okay,
yeah.
Wait, I was going to end with it, but I feel like I have to start with it because I heard it today.
Wait, I want to start by saying you're Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks for being here.
You're Mike Bongiorno. Thanks for having me.
I know that.
But wait.
GGL, yes.
I was going to say, I heard something today that blew my mind.
What?
The Grinch lives with the Whos, mm-hmm. So he is microscopic because in Horton Hears a Who, the Whos are on a speck.
Yes.
So he's just this tiny, tiny little thing that we can't even see.
Well, at the beginning of this film, you zoom into a snowflake.
All right. Well, I didn't watch it closely enough,
I guess. They live in a snowflake.
All right. Well, you know what? It blew my mind.
Well, you know what's cool about this? And I didn't notice it until after I reread the book. In the book, Whos come in all different sizes. Like, there are, like, people Whos, then, like, little tiny Whos.
I have that written in my notes.
Right. There's, like... I think in the original cartoon, there's like a Russian doll Who, where like one has a dinner plate and opens it, and then there's another one with a dinner plate and opens it, which is how I'm doing this episode. I'm going from Benedict Cumberbatch back to Boris Karloff.
Smart.
But in this, there are a few instances of tiny Who people.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
He steals one of their cars.
I know, I wrote that down.
How did I never notice that?
I mean, I noticed it, but I guess I wasn't preparing for an episode, so I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
But...
There's only, I think, three instances of it. There's the little one who's in a horn in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
Then there's the ones with the car, and then there's another one somewhere
right.
around. But I think
I just wrote tiny Whos. Oh, yeah, why are there teeny tiny Whos?
Because it's ridiculous, and that's what Dr. Seuss is about.
The most iconic version. Come on.
Okay. How old were you when you saw this? Did you see it?
I don't know. When did it come out? Probably
2000.
I did not like it when I first saw it.
Neither
and I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry to the audience.
Why didn't you like it?
I don't know. I was just like, I don't think I was ready for it. I was like, this is too much. This doesn't feel like the Grinch. I just wasn't ready for it. And then I saw it with a friend who loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it with her, and I was like, actually, this is kind of fun. It's the most quotable and the most quoted.
Yeah, it's pretty quoted. Like, what would I wear?
Yeah.
When I first saw it, I was 18. So
when did it come out?
2000. And I was like, I guess maybe a freshman in college. And I was like, I know everything about movies. And I'm a cineast and I'm a cinema master. So I was like a shitty person. And I was like not open minded because I was trying to like create my identity, I guess. Anyway, I was like, this movie's stupid. It's bad. Ron Howard's a bad director. I don't like all the Dutch angles, blah, blah, blah. You just thrown out every term I heard. So
Dutch angles.
Yeah.
They're rough.
Yeah, but then I didn't like it for most of my life until like last year, because then we watched it together and I was like, this isn't that bad.
If you don't like it, I recommend watching it with someone who does. And if you do like it, you're above us all. You're recording.
Okay. Like if you liked it from the get-go.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. It's the same problem with the Benedict Cumberbatch version, which is this is a 60-page book, and the book begins on Christmas night. The book begins with, screw them who's, I'm about to steal their Christmas. And then he just goes and does it. Zindi Lou Who is not even really a character. She's just the only who he, like, I think she's the only one that has dialogue. She's the only person that he speaks to.
Right.
We don't know anything about her, except she sleeps in a bed with her siblings. And she's tiny. She's like no more than two, Cindy Lou Who. And so both any version you do of the Grinch, you have to add a lot. Whereas I prefer the Benedict Cumberbatch one because they add all the stuff with Cindy Lou Who trying to like ask Santa for say like kidnap Santa.
Yeah, and yeah, ask
something for her mother. This one's like, no, we're gonna give you a backstory. We're gonna show you who raised the Grinch. We're gonna make it that. We're going to have it both ways. We're going to have it that he was always mean because he bit the Santa plate, but also he wasn't mean until his heart was broken.
I don't know if that makes him mean. I think he just enjoyed, because he eats glass.
This is
that
ableist.
Looks delicious.
Babe, this is ableist.
Why?
Because the babies come down, and I think that's cute that the babies like fall down from the sky in like little prams, but he's green and hairy, so fuck him. He's mean and everyone, and he's terrible.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
When also, he's a baby, he looks different he's just inherently a piece of shit.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Ableist.
Yeah. I think you just thought the plate looked delicious.
I thought he was like, fuck Santa.
No. Well, he ate the Santa plate, but then you also later see him eating glass.
Yeah.
Which also looks delicious. And I don't know if it's because I know that it's candy that it looks delicious to me, but I also saw a TikTok where the girl was like, I also thought it looked delicious as a child, and then I ate glass, and that was a problem. But wow, I was not the only one who thought it looked delicious, but I knew it was candy, so I didn't try to eat glass. But yeah, it does look delicious. So I don't know.
To me, it doesn't look delicious.
The glass or the Santa?
The glass.
The glass looks delicious.
But that scene... But I always like that scene because it makes me feel seen, because he's like, am I just eating because I'm bored?
Yeah.
And I've always been like, boy, speaking right to my soul.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's shit like that. It's funny stuff like that.
Yep.
Now, the story is Jim Carrey went through like 9,000 hours every day of makeup, and it was so intense and torturous that like he had on the set, there was a CIA agent who like his job was to like help people with getting over torture or dealing with torture.
Yeah.
Because it was so horrible to be in the Grinch thing that, like, he was having panic attacks and stuff. Yeah. It's kind of amazing that he gives such a free, good performance if he really felt that.
Right. I saw something that he... Well, the 8 or 9 hour thing was apparently just the first one, which, I mean, is awful.
That's they get an awful time. Yeah.
Right. And then it, like, by the time they're actually... recording, it's 3 hours, I think, which is so awful.
Yeah, it's but, still horrible.
Yeah, I already...
Because you also got to get there before everyone else.
Right.
Although they probably all had makeup to put those Who faces on.
Right.
But not like him.
Yeah. I heard that he also was, like, really grumpy, and, like, someone, I think I think it was a makeup guy or costume. Like, he was just, like, so horrible to him that he left, and Jim Carrey had to apologize.
Wow.
I mean, it's not right to be mean to people, but I understand the grumpy.
You know, it's method. He's in character. He's being the Grinch.
But he also couldn't eat or anything.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
So this Grinch, if you look hard enough, has green nipples, and I want to know how you feel about that, Jen. Because you're a nipple monitor. If you don't know, folks, Jen is a nipple monitor. If we're watching a TV show or a movie, she's the first one who's like, must be cold in there because their nipples are hard. Or you can see their nipple a little bit. Jen's a nipple monitor.
I'm not a nipple monitor. I'm just observant. Well, I didn't observe nipples. His green nipples, though.
You didn't see his green nipples?
I didn't notice.
You got to look hard, but you'll see them green nipples.
Well, I was taking notes. I'll watch it again. Okay. I'll watch it again with fresh eyes.
What do you think of the Cindy Lou Who in this movie?
I think she's super cute.
She's adorable.
She's super cute. I kind of like that she's sad. I don't know. I'm weird. I like a sad Christmas.
Who? No, that's not weird.
I like a sad, moody
I think that's
Christmas.
Normal. I think she's adorable. Mm-hmm. And her little hair is adorable.
Mm.
But I think I like the one from the Benedict Cumberbatch version more because she's kind of chunky.
Right.
And she's spunky. Whereas I think one of my, I think I like that she sings Where Are You Christmas. I think that's cute. I like, that's a good addition to this movie.
Right.
Add one more song. You only have two songs in this really, and that's all you need. It's not a full blown musical.
Right.
But I, my feeling is that her problem is not defined enough. Like, her dad is upset with her that she's not in the Christmas mood as much as everyone else. Mm-hmm. It just feels like she's not into Christmas that much. And she's sad because everyone wants her to be into Christmas. And she's, like, looking for a reason to be into it.
Right.
I just feel like it's vaguely defined.
I mean, yeah. Right. She's also, like, stuck with people around her that are just...
Everyone's obsessed with it.
They're all obsessed with buying. And, like, I think that's her big thing, is that she doesn't understand the Christmas part of it, because everyone around, all she's ever known is just people frantically buying things and decorating. And
right. In the opening, in the little Whoville, there's like, for the next 5 minutes, 99% off of what, and people like run it's each other madness. Down. You see the, you know, her dad's a male person in this.
Yeah.
Played by Bill Irwin, and her mom is Molly Shannon.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see the frantic mail going in and out, mm-hmm. and the Grinch decides to commit federal mail fraud for fun. And
Jury duty.
You see, there's a shot of old-fashioned cash register, like opening, closing. And then at the end, when she says, what is it about? And he says, present, she's disappointed.
Right.
She's like, oh, that was what I was afraid of.
Well, I think this one, I mean, not that they knew that there was going to be another one, but this one, they were busy setting up the Grinch, which I think leaves room in the Benedict Cumberbatch to set up Cindy Lou.
I think that's a better choice. Right. Don't you feel like the Grinch is more powerful the less you know about him?
Well, I mean, if you have Jim Carrey and Jim Carrey's energy.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if they need it for Jim Carrey. But
a lot of that backstory is another performer who is no longer with us. No,
he was so good. He was in Seventh Heaven and I loved him.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Yeah. He was, what are we, he wasn't a child though. He was, I think he was like 20 or something.
I don't know how old he was.
He was a young guy.
Right, he wasn't a child. Right. I don't know how old he was.
He just had a small body, which is eventually, complications from that is why he died so young.
Right.
And he's good, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I have a major problem with that, which is, even though he's green and everything, the thing that they make fun of him for is having a beard, but he doesn't have a beard. He's furry all over except his face.
I know he doesn't.
And it's like, why couldn't you rewrite this when you saw the costume? And then, even more frustrating to me is, he shaves his face and they do the bit where he's like, he's got a bag on his head and then he's got the book in front of him and then the shoe. And then you're like, what's this going to be? And it's like little specks of paper.
I know.
That's the big reveal.
I know.
That's enough that they make fun of him. The little specks of paper is what destroyed. It's not enough.
Well, the mayor doesn't like him because Martha May likes him.
And he likes Martha May.
So, I mean, to be fair, the kids are just laughing at what the mayor said because the mayor's a big bully.
Right.
And the mayor had a reason to bully him.
Played by real life bully and asshole, Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. He's rough.
You bet he is.
I mean, not the kid, though.
Not like, isn't Angela Lansbury in the Benedict Cumberbatch? There's the mayor? She has like one scene. She's like, hi, everybody.
Maybe. Speaking of Baby Grinch.
Yeah, sure.
Have you seen all the like Baby Grinch videos where people order Baby Grinches and they're terrible? There's Baby Grinch fever. He's also adorable.
Like Baby Yoda.
He was our Baby Yoda before we had Baby Yoda.
You're damn right. Like little Baby Grinch, like when they first get him.
Yeah.
What do you think about the key party scene?
I wrote it in there and I want to say they're getting people to not drive drunk, right?
No, they're probably going home and fucking strangers.
It's probably so they don't drive drunk.
This is 2000. This is 2000, but it was made in the 90s. And in the 90s, like now they just make funny jokes that anyone can laugh at, kids or adults. But I feel like in the 90s, their thing was, we'll have jokes for kids and jokes for grown-ups. And we just got to make sure that the grown-up jokes go over their head.
Yeah, because they didn't want them to drive drunk.
So there's a fucking key party joke in this. To the point where, like, in case you don't get it at first, like, we're going to show you also a close-up of the key bowl.
They also have an adorable lesbian couple raising him. Adorable. They're adorable as
old
ladies.
Are they a couple? I never read them that way.
They said they always wanted a child.
Oh. Huh.
Someone
either was, I'm really dumb or they were not explicit enough, or
someone,
both.
Someone was sending them a child. And
well, children because, just come out of the
well,
sky.
No. No, because then there's that one joke that was like,
oh, he looks like the...
He looks right. Just like your boss.
That makes no sense.
I know, it doesn't.
How do things work in Whoville?
It doesn't. But, no, I'm pretty sure they wanted a child. And there was a baby that the baby Grinch...
Then why haven't we had 20 years of people complaining about this movie and boycotting it?
Because it went over everyone's head.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Although I kind of like... I like in the new one that he's just an orphan in an orphanage.
I know.
Because he's mean to his moms. Like, when he sees his moms, he's like, you're alive?
I know. It's so good.
That whole...
Are you still living?
That whole... There's the Hoover Nation, the coronation. Core Hoover Nation. What is that? There's a whole nother...
It's a thing for Cheermeister. Meisner?
No, the Cheermeister. Oh, the Hubilation. The 1,000-year Hubilation. And that's being celebrated. And that's where Cindy Lou is like, I think the Grinch should be Cheermeister. And everyone's like, and the mayor's like, no. And and that's when she convinces the Grinch to come. He comes in the Lederhosen.
Yeah.
And that's all fun. They make him eat fudge and... They do a conga line.
It's this movie gets real gross too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have like a thing about like gross eating.
Yeah. No, that's gross.
And the part where they sing the Grinch song, there's like actual termites in his teeth. I don't know.
Yeah.
I both love and hate this movie.
Yeah. Okay.
It is the grossest one.
The movie's longer than it needs to be. I'm wondering like if you could just cut out the whole Hubilation. Because it feels like because it's also already Christmas. So it's like, I don't know. Although you do have the mayor being a real dick there, and the mayor asking Martha May to marry him, and she doesn't get a chance to answer because the Grinch goes off on his rant about materialism.
Right. Well, I mean, she does give him the ring back, so I guess she answers.
Not until the end, though.
No, I know, but I mean, she does answer. She eventually answers at some point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know what joke aged real bad? When the Grinch is trying to get a taxi and he's like, you didn't stop because I'm green.
Yeah.
Ooh, did that not age well?
Yeah.
The Grinch lives on Mount Crumpet.
Right.
And the way he travels to and fro the village is this sort of tube where the garbage goes. And yeah. It says, dump it to Crumpet.
Yeah.
And he throws Cindy Lou down there. But don't worry, folks. She likes it because you can hear her giggling.
Yeah. She's having a great time.
She loves going down Mount Crumpet.
I put in my notes that the Grinch doesn't like the Christmas party partly because of the noise.
Yes.
And Ken
that's
relate.
That's from the book, too.
Oh, well, Ken relate.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ken relate, too. Absolutely.
No one wants a noisy
party. The noise. What do you think about the Grinch song in this?
Is this the first time? Wait, what? The Grinch? Like,
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. No, it first appears in the animated one.
No, right.
But they were like, we have to put it in this.
Right, right. Because
it became like a Christmas song.
Right. Yeah, no, it still is, for sure.
But whenever, I like the sequence, but part of me also feels like just sing it. Like the doing a million different voices thing is annoying.
Yeah.
Although one of the voices is clearly Andy Kaufman, which I find fun.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, There's something annoying about it. Like, just do it. Just really do it.
Right.
It is an interesting choice to make him sing it, though, rather than just have it on the soundtrack.
Right. I like that he sings it. I mean, the million different voices.
Like, it was Carrie as a spider. Like, it's just like, what? Some of them are like, what are you doing?
Right.
What's happening here? Although I do like when he does the crash test and he's like, that's what these tests are for.
Yeah.
He is funny in it.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
He makes it, right, and at Universal Studios, when you see the Grinch, or any meet and greet with the Grinch now, it's just people doing this impression.
Right.
Which is all over TikTok lately.
Right. Even, like, I feel like Grinch costumes...
Or this.
They look like this. But, yeah, the Grinch at Universal is fantastic. They also have Who meet and greets.
That's fun.
And I follow someone that used to work at Disney and Universal, and she was a Who.
Yeah.
And it's fun that they, like, add Who to things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, what holiday do you celebrate?
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you know, I could be wrong, when the Grinch is stealing Christmas in a montage, was there a Hanukkah tree? Because there's one tree that you see, he cuts under it like a hole and then it falls underneath. It's blue and it has all blue and silver decorations.
Maybe.
Which, I don't know, I'm not Jewish, but at least in retail, they usually use that blue to indicate Hanukkah.
Right.
And even the packages have, they don't have Stars of David because Stars of David aren't filled in, but they have stars, but they have the same amount of points as Star of David. I actually rewound it. I was like, is that a Hanukkah tree?
It might have been.
It goes super fast.
Yeah.
By the way, can we just talk about my favorite look in the movie? When Cindy Lou Who's family is all wearing eggnog bowls on their head, yeah, and you're like, you keep thinking they're going to spill it?
No, not in that family.
What a look. That is the...
Not in that family.
That is the greatest style. What about when he makes the mayor eat Max's ass in his sleep?
It's just a smooch.
I mean, that's his asshole.
I feel like that's unfair to Max.
Yeah.
Max didn't consent to that.
No.
And was very upset by it after. Yeah.
Right. He's so upset by it that he does really bad CGI eyes. Right. Yeah, yep. The CGI in this is a little rough. Although it's 21 years ago, so I guess it's okay. I'm trying to think of things that really made me laugh. The Echo gag. Echo. I'm an idiot.
You're an idiot.
That's funny. When he burns down the tree and they're like, thank God we had a replacement tree, and they just bring out another tree. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I like the Grinch's schedule.
Yes. Oh, right. That's you. That, I feel like you see that on TikTok a lot.
Some
Wallow and self-loathing.
Yeah, a store that we don't have here, like a Costco, I assume, had that on a cookie. And some girl on TikTok was like, I don't get it. Are they okay? Like, why is there all this stuff on it? And everyone's
like, we hate you.
That's from the Grinch.
Dealing with myself, I can't cancel that again. this Grinch is a garbage man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch is an inventor. He's sort of like a genius.
Yeah.
This Grinch is more like he could hobble shit together out of garbage. Like, even the thing he makes Martha May is like an angel out of like metal and shit.
Yeah. Well, he pulls stuff apart there, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes garbage things.
I know, but it's cute. I guess that works to his like resourcefulness and living in the dump.
Yeah.
I guess they had to like work backwards with that one, but.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Cindy Lou Who, she was on Gossip Girl or one of those. She did something else.
I did not follow her career.
Her name was Taylor Momsen.
She wasn't she a singer? I don't know if she was on a show, but I'm pretty sure she was a singer.
Let's talk for a second about the cinematography. So everything is Dutch angles, meaning the camera is never level. It's all like, and in every shot, the camera's moving and there's fast motion. And I get it. You want it to look like a cartoon. You want it to be full of silliness and motion, but it gives you a headache. It's too much. And it cheapens it because it looks like big bad Beetleborgs. Like, it looks like Power Rangers.
Right.
It's a little bit too much. I actually really, really like the costumes and the set design.
Yeah, the sets are awesome.
That alone should be enough. The camera work needed to, like, Ron Howard needed to, like, bring that down, like, 10 degrees. Let's bring this way down.
Right.
Because it's just, I don't know, it's too frantic.
Right.
I don't know. It's my take on it. How do you feel about Anthony Hopkins as the narrator?
That's who narrates it?
Yeah.
Well.
Whoa.
I mean, he's good. He's only there, in the beginning and the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun.
I'm trying to think. Ron Howard's a director that I've never totally loved. I haven't seen all of his movies, but probably the movie of his I like the most is Solo.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's a name because he was an actor that people know.
Right.
But really, as a director, he's just sort of like he's a hired hand. He's like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not an auteur. There's not like you could see that's a Ron Howard thing. Although the Grinch does do a Ron Howard impression when he's like giving Max his motivation. He comes out and he's got on the cap like Ron Howard always has.
You're a freak with the red nose. Nobody likes you.
What did he direct? He directed... Oh, right. He did, what do you call it? He did all of those Tom Hanks Da Vinci Code movies.
I didn't see those.
Hillbilly Elegy, Pavarotti, did not see that. Solo, Inferno, Made in America, Rush, The Dilemma, Angels and Demons, Frost Nixon, that's a good movie. Da Vinci Code. Cinderella Man's a good movie, too. A Beautiful Mind. Actually, A Beautiful Mind he made the next year after this.
A Beautiful Mind is good.
Ransom. I remember liking Ransom. Backdraft. Parenthood's good. Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Cocoon. Splash. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I used to be harder on him. I guess he's okay. You know what's really funny? I don't know if you caught this. They show the Grinch on the newspaper, and his pose that he's doing is... Yeah.
It's, what's it called?
Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot. Yeah. I wrote that down.
It's exactly the famous image of Bigfoot. It's pretty quick.
It is. It's very quick.
But it's nice if you catch it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. In this one, I mean, in all of them, his heart grows three sizes.
Yeah.
In the Universal meet, there was one where, like, the Grinch was, like, talking about Martha May, and he was like, she gave me a heart condition, but whatever.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Whoa. So this is your favorite Grinch, huh?
I mean, it's the most iconic. It's probably my favorite. I haven't felt the urge to revisit the original.
Okay.
I like the Benedict Cumberbatch one.
The original is really like 22 minutes. It's like super, super short.
Right.
It's just a little cartoon.
Right.
Oh, one thing I said when I spoke to Janine is we were talking about how in that version, Cindy Lou Who wants to kidnap Santa. And I was saying like Santa's not really a presence in these stories. But I was wrong because you see Santa in this. There's one scene where
he's flying.
Right. Like the Grinch is about to steal Christmas, but he's like, he doesn't want to bump into Santa. So you see he's got binoculars and he's watching Santa come out of a chimney and get into, it's really bad CGI, but he's watching Santa get into his sleigh and go off. So I was wrong. You do see Santa.
Right. And the plate.
And the plate, of course.
Also, did you notice Max's Christmas party that he has for himself while the Grinch is out?
No.
It's just like Max jumping around, playing Christmas music, like having the greatest time, and it's adorable.
That is adorable.
And then the Grinch catches him.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. I forget what he's dancing to. There's a song playing. I don't remember what the song was.
Yeah.
I just wrote it down with a heart because it's Max.
Max should leave him, but he doesn't want to because he knows the Grinch needs him.
I know.
He's like, you know what? You don't treat me great, but you know what? I know that you need me.
Yeah, he does. He does need him.
In every version, he treats Max better.
Right.
I guess it probably says something about our culture and how we think about dogs.
Right.
In this one, they call him Mr. Grinch a lot, which is really just from the song.
All right. Well, Cindy Lou... does.
Yeah. No, the mayor at one point calls him Mr. Grinch. Mm. He's also like an urban legend. Like in the beginning, Cindy Lou's brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Who you never really see them again as her brothers, but like they're like climbing up the mountain, daring each other to go see the Grinch. And then when they see the Grinch, they're like, oh my God, there's the Grinch.
With that sexy, that other sexy who?
Oh, the one who's like, do it for me.
Do it for me, Stu. Yeah.
Stu who? Stu and Drew who?
Stu and Drew who? And Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah.
And then there's regular Lou Who.
Right. And then Betty Lou Who.
I know. Betty.
Or is it just Betty Who?
Yeah, I think it's just Betty Who.
Betty Who. Well, she, you know, she married in.
Right. Oh, I like the part with Max when they're playing catch. And he throws the stick, and he's like, there is no stick. I'm smarter. I say that's Penny that all day, funny. Every day.
That's funny. I'm calling ASPCA on you.
All right.
Well, Jen, I think we did it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Have a hoopendous...
Grinchmas.
Grinchmas. A Grinch is unhelpful, unfriendly, unkind, with ungracious thoughts and an unhealthy mind. A Grinch is uncheerful, uncouth, and unclean. Now say this together, I'm frightfully mean. My eyes are both shifty, my fingers are thrifty, my mouth will not smile, not half an inch. I'm a Grinch, I'm a Grinch, I'm a Grinch. That's the Grinch's oath from the 1982 special.
I was going to say that is not in the original.
That's from the 1982 special, The Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat.
Did you see that with the original Grinch?
Yeah,
in the two-pack
that I purchased? It comes together, yeah.
Yeah, I purchased that on Amazon Prime, baby.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, actually.
Yeah, it's really horrible. He has this weird, like, Anakin Skywalker moment where he's like looking in the mirror and he's like, you're evil, remember?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like it's very psychoanalytical because it's about his mother.
I didn't get that far.
Yeah, I shut it off before we got to the
mom backstory.
But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about animated special, How the Grinch Stole Christmas! Exclamation from 1966. Anthony Buongiorno, how are you? Welcome to the show. Happy holidays.
Hello, happy holidays. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to talk to you about this television special.
This Grinchy special.
It is 26 minutes. Mwah, chef's kiss.
I'm very honored that I get to talk about the OG of all the Grinch iterations.
Yes. Well, you should feel honored, I guess. let's see. A little background. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I haven't really talked about the book, so we can talk about the book a little bit, too.
Never read it.
Okay, that's fine. Right over here.
Never gotten around to it.
3 seconds to read it?
No, don't have the time.
The book came out in 1957. It's dedicated to Teddy Owens. I haven't figured out who that is yet. It was published both in Random House and Red Book Magazine at the same time.
Interesting. In its entirety?
Yeah. And it only came 6 months after The Cat in the Hat. And he had been working for a while. He had published his first children's book, Mulberry Street, before World War II, and he was in World War II.
Is that the one that was just canceled?
Yes, his first book is the one that
the Mulberry Street one
fake canceled because it wasn't canceled
because also no one's ever read that book.
It was his big premiere, and it is interesting that it's his first book, and they got rid of it. But it has
Teddy Owens, the 1-year-old son of Geisel's niece.
Oh, okay.
So it's his great nephew.
Okay. I half read a biography of him, and we could talk about him a little bit. Theodore Soyce Geisel, Soyce rhymes with voice,
yeah,
as he would say, was a German immigrant, but his family was here a long time. He's from a wealthy family. He was in America all through World War One, and actually would like get picked on for being German.
Sad.
He is from a wealthy family. His family were brewers. And had a brewing company, although they went and they were very influential in their city, which I forget where it is. I only half read the book, and but then during Prohibition, they kind of like lost their standing in the.
Oh right, yeah.
Because he's mad old.
He was like an old man when he
right
like the Grinch happened and the right, Cat right. Hat.
So his first book is And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street from 1937.
That title sounds racist.
So that's 20 years before The Cat in the Hat.
20 years. Wow. Yeah.
1937.
Same illustrator, right? He always worked with?
Himself. He's an artist and a writer.
Oh, why did I never know that?
I don't know. You're dumb.
I guess I am. Okay, it's all him. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah, he's like that kind of guy. No, he's an artist more than anything. Like he also did like sculptures and...
I knew this. Didn't he do like political cartoons and stuff?
Yes, political cartoons.
Yeah.
And you could find this online. He did like paintings that he called the Midnight Paintings because they were so different. But they're really interesting to look at because they look like his work, but they're more complex and darker. But you could clearly see that's Dr. Seuss. It's really interesting stuff to look at. Him as an artist, I think, is really influential like on someone like Tim Burton.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the controversy. The big thing that people hate him now for or cancel him now for, well, the two things. One is that there's racism in a lot of his early stuff. In his political cartoons, there's racism against black people. There's anti-Semitism against Jewish people.
Right.
And racism against Japanese people. During World War II, he literally was making propaganda films.
Right, yeah.
He apologized for some of the stuff later on.
but not all of it.
Not all of it, right. He did not want to give up the term Chinaman in one of his books. I don't know why.
That's a weird hill to die on.
I know. So, but the big thing that people hate him for is he left his first wife. His first wife got cancer and was paralyzed, and he left her for a younger woman, and his wife was so sad about that, she died of suicide.
Ooh.
And in her note, she said, I'm doing this because of you.
Oh my God.
But the real, like, heartbreaking thing is she always wanted to protect him, so she even said, but you can keep that a secret. Like, I don't want people to hate you because of this, but I fucking hate you.
Oh, wow.
So that's real shitty. He probably wasn't a great person, but you know, he was a person. Like, clearly when you look at his work, there is a certain liberalism there. I mean, Grinch is anti-consumerism, anti-materialism. Horton Heasel, who was very much environmentalism. He's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's an evil dude.
You know, it's funny you bring up the anti-consumerism angle, because it is there in The Grinch. But what's interesting is, like, as I was watching The Grinch, I was just thinking, like, oh, this is in a way just sort of like a retelling of A Christmas Carol.
Right.
But Scrooge is such a money hungry, greedy man.
Right.
And you're right. The Grinch hates the consumerism of it all. But he also just really hates the fucking noise.
Noise.
He hates all the noise.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because me and Janine were talking about that, the lineage from Scrooge to Grinch. Because they are synonymous as like an insult, right? You could call somebody a Grinch or a Scrooge. It means the same thing. But one's a rich guy who loves money and hates people, and one supposedly doesn't love money or doesn't like materialism, but also hates people.
Yeah. I definitely see the connection. Like,
and there's something onomatopoeic about both terms, Grinch, Scrooge.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely see the similarity. I also saw, and maybe it's just sort of like one of those things where it becomes just sort of like, it's no longer stealing anymore because it's just such a well-known sort of trope. But I also saw, and I don't know if you talked about this with any of the other Grinch iterations, a lot of, speaking of Tim Burton, I feel like I saw a lot of Nightmare Before Christmas in it.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I felt stupid because I was like, how have I not seen this before?
Yeah, like a lot of it. Like dressing up as Santa Claus. And yeah,
The Grinch. It's really kind of like,
but also
a remaking of this.
With a different angle, because he just is interested in Christmas, Jack Skellington. And he unknowingly messes it up.
Right.
So it's like three different kind of versions of the same, all coming from the same like source material almost. It's interesting. And now it's just sort of like the thing of like, well, I mean, that's across all Christmas specials, movies, literature. Like, there's so much of like, and then they learn the true meaning of Christmas at the end. Like, that's, I'm sure, started with A Christmas Carol, but I feel like we see it even in like Charlie Brown Christmas to some extent.
You know what's the opposite of that? Kirk Cameron makes these prosperity gospel movies.
He's
the
worst person alive. Do you know what
prosperity gospel is?
No.
It's the belief that rich is good and Christ wants you to be rich. And don't be ashamed of being rich.
That makes sense based on the word prosperity.
Yeah. And he's got like these Christmas movies where people are like, some liberal asshole's like, it's all about materialism. And then he's like, you're a fucking idiot. Let me explain to you why God wants you to be rich. And that's That's what he does.
That is some real mental gymnastics to justify your own.
Right.
Although, is he rich?
I don't know.
I'm sure the Cameron family has got some money.
He also published his own version. He also published his own annotated version of On the Origin of Species by Charles Darwin. Well,
he is such a piece of shit. He poked holes
in it.
And his stupid sister on TikTok.
Oh, God. Is she crazy too?
Yeah, she's just as crazy.
Just as?
Candace Cameron Bure. Yeah, she's just as crazy. Yes.
But at least...
One of the many reasons I will not watch Fuller House.
I don't watch it because it's that awful.
It's bad. Yeah, that's the first reason. Yeah, they suck.
Yeah, good for them. Fuck them. Merry Christmas, everybody. So this special is directed by Chuck Jones and Ben Washam. Chuck Jones is an infamous Warner Brothers animator and director. He worked on all of the big characters, but he also co-created Wile E. Coyote, Marvin the Martian, Pepe Le Pew, and Roadrunner. And I think when you
look... One of those characters is canceled.
Yes. If you look at this special, it's the perfect marriage of Seuss aesthetics and Looney Tunes animation.
Well, I was going to say, going back to what we said before about Dr. Seuss being the illustrator as well, you could tell that the animation is inspired by it, but it's not exactly the same as his illustrations.
No.
It's sort of softer.
Right,
and it looks more Looney Tunes-y.
Yes, for sure.
Which, I, as an adult, I picked up on more than as a kid.
And the animation is Looney Tuney, like the way his face moves and Cindy Lou Who's eyes, like that. That's all very Looney Tuney.
Yeah.
Even some of the comedic sensibility, like I find it genuinely funny when Max is in front and then the Max goes under the sled and he looks back and he sees Max and Max just like shrugs.
Yeah.
Like that's genuinely like a Looney Tunes gag.
Yeah. Max is great.
Yeah. By the way, they knew each other. They both...
Max and the Grinch?
Yes. For a very long time.
They were college roommates.
Seuss and Jones both made propaganda films during World War II.
Oh, that's right.
They made Private Snafu, Situation Normal, all fouled up, which is what they wink wink said in their thing. And it was Private Snafu... I've seen some of it. It's more training than propaganda, but there's propaganda in it. But
isn't there like a lot of anti-Japanese?
Oh yeah, but basically the point is like Private Snafu. He's the bad soldier. He's not what a soldier should be. He does all the things wrong. So like by watching it, you're seeing what you're supposed to do as a soldier, not what you know.
Why don't we have training videos that are cartoons anymore?
I have no idea. I don't know. it's weird that.
What a lost art.
Right, because he was in World War II, but not. Because he was already an author and illustrator, and he was not in the military. You know, like, he was in the military, but not. All he ever did was just go and work on those films.
Right.
But so did Frank Capra. So did Stan Lee. So there's a lot of...
It was like a patriotic thing at the time.
Right, exactly. They were like, this is the right thing to do.
I'm contributing my talents to the effort.
Yeah. So we have Boris Karloff as the narrator and the voice of the Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great. Boris Karloff, of course, was Frankenstein.
Yeah. The voice is really, really good. And I feel like it's hard to replicate. Like, Jim Carrey tried... I don't think too well.
I think he sort of did
his own thing with it, which I like that movie, but I haven't seen the new movie.
Jim Carrey's base level is Boris Karloff impression, but then he goes up and down from there.
Yeah.
Because as I said when I was talking to Jen about this, he seems very inspired by Robin Williams' Genie, and it's all like frantic. His references and things I shouldn't know about, like, therapy and shit like that.
Right. Well, I wanted to talk about that. I watched it last night. By the way, it's blessedly short. It is. Thank God it is so short.
It's basically the book. It adds a little bit more than the book, but it is basically just the book.
Yeah. But as I was watching it, I was thinking about, like, since this was, like, the first adaptation of the book, and then we've come so far since with other specials and movies or whatever, the Grinch character has evolved. And when you go back and you watch that original again, he's sort of humorless.
Yes.
And there's, like, a levity that's not there.
Yeah.
That I feel like most people associate with the Grinch now as like a lovable curmudgeon.
Yeah.
That's not there.
No, he's
like truly, and he's also, I feel like, depicted in the animation as like to be like a really angry old man.
Yes, he's an angry old man.
Yeah, like even his face looks haggard. Like he's definitely like way cuter now.
Well, Jen was saying that she thinks Jim Carrey is like the iconic Grinch now because he made the Grinch a sassy asshole.
Right.
Which, like, when you go to Universal...
Lunch with Myself? Can't miss that.
Right. When you go to Universal, like, there are meet and greets with the Grinch where he, like, makes fun of you and you love it.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
That's the new Grinch.
Right. Boris Karloff was not doing that. Boris Karloff's Grinch... The Grinch of the cartoon and the book are just mean.
Yeah.
And sad.
Yeah. Well, also, that movie, the Jim Carrey movie, like, has aged in a way where, like, I feel like when everybody first saw it, they were like, this is stupid, but now everybody likes it a lot more.
Also, 20 years later, everyone who was a kid then is an adult now, and they're like, I love this movie from when I was a kid.
Right, because I remember seeing it at the time and being like, oh, this is stupid.
Right.
Because I resented the fact that they gave the Grinch a sympathetic backstory, but I think that's what informed the character of the Jim Carrey version is that he has that backstory.
Right.
And you see him as a little Grinch kid, and also Baby Grinch is a gay icon.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. He just is.
Sure.
But yeah, so you see that backstory that we don't see in this original version, which is very sort of, because it's so short, it's just sort of very simple.
Well, a theme that's come up through this whole holiday special with everyone I've spoken to is that it's a short narrative. So if you make a feature film, you've got a problem, which is how do I stretch it? And both the Benedict Cumberbatch one and the Jim Carrey one do it in different ways.
Okay.
I prefer the Benedict Cumberbatch one because they add more to Cindy Lou Who's story and less about the Grinch. But you know, some people love, you know, the Martha Lou Martha May stuff and
all. Oh, yeah. How does Benedict Cumberbatch play the Grinch?
He's sort of in between. He plays him, I think, is older, but he's funny.
Okay.
And he's much nicer to Max. It shows something about our contemporary idea of our animals.
Yeah.
Because with every version, the Grinch is nicer to Max.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically very nice to Max in the last one. Max is the only one that he really likes.
Right.
And Max is sort of his servant, but like, he makes him a latte in the morning and brings it to him.
That's adorable.
He's not like an asshole.
Well, I feel like to Max. Back when the first Grinch, when the Grinch was first written and the first version was produced, like, nobody was buying clothes for their dog.
Right, right.
And
people are like, haha, he stapled a horn to his dog's stupid face.
Yeah, exactly. It was also like, put the dog out in the dog house. I don't care if it's raining.
Yeah.
Like, people just in general were shittier to dogs back then.
Like in this cartoon, he doesn't just make Max be the reindeer. He whips him.
Yeah, yeah. Max really goes through it.
Yeah, yeah. But Max has always been his conscience. Max will always be like, when he's being too much of an asshole.
It makes you wonder how he ended up with a dog.
Right. How did he get a dog ever? I guess if you're Seuss writing the book,
and is like, he a dog or like a who dog? I found myself questioning a lot. Like, what are these things?
What kind of dog is? Well, whos are interesting, right? They come in all sizes. There's human whos, but then there's like tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yeah,
whos.
And then some of them are furry, like the Grinch, and other ones are like human-ish. With Cindy Lou Who has like antlers. I don't know.
Well, it's not clear to me if they're fleshy, like in the Jim Carrey movie, or they're just a blonde fur.
That's like some of them looked like they were like a blondish.
Right, and he's just a green version.
Right. Well, I had some questions. I wrote down my questions as I was watching.
Please.
And one of the questions I had
Let's unpack it.
Let's unpack it, truly, because one of my questions was, and this is a serious question, are Whovians Christian?
Great question.
Because Christmas seems to mean a lot to them.
Right.
These people believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
I think so.
Because at first
I don't know.
But then at the end when they're like singing and like, it seems like they're like praying and praising, and then there's like a big star that goes up into the heavens.
Right.
It's like, that's like Christ-like.
But it's not that explicit.
No.
Because it seems like they're more into Santa.
Yes, but they celebrate Christmas without presents.
Right.
That's the whole thing. That's what changes his heart, is because he sees that they're still joyous even without gifts.
Right. I don't know. You know, in the Benedict Cumberbatch one, they actually have Christmas music from our world besides besides the Welcome Christmas song.
That's weird. They have like
Christ. There's three songs in this, and you're like, three, don't you mean two? No. Everyone will always forget Trim Up the Tree.
That's the first song, isn't it?
No.
After the opening?
Yeah, they do Welcome Christmas or Dahu Dores.
Right.
And then that goes right into Trim Up the Tree, but that's a different song, and then there's Mean One Mr. Grinch.
This also might be a really trite observation because it's Dr. Seuss, but I was sitting there like, wow, there are a lot of nonsense words here.
Yeah.
Like half of this is just made up.
Right. That was his thing. He created the word nerd.
I knew that. That's really interesting. Yeah.
Do you know who did the music, by the way?
Who?
All of the music was done by a fellow by the name of Albert Haig.
Okay.
You might remember him as the professor in Fame, the movie and the TV show, the professor with the glasses.
Really?
That guy did all the music.
He must have been a young guy, right?
I mean, Fame was 20 years later?
Yeah, Fame was the 80s.
Yeah, he was a young guy, yeah.
Wow. So I guess part of this is I haven't watched it in a really long time, and this is like, I'm watching as like an adult.
Sure.
And my first question was, I don't know if this is like, you know, what's that thing called where it's like everybody misremembers something?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up because I'm trying to change that.
Okay.
I call it a Shazam effect.
Shazam is part of what they call.
They call it the Mandela effect. I refuse to boil down
Nelson Mandela
to this stupid meme. Yeah. So the Shazam effect.
Which I was like, how does this not start with the "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch"? Like,
right.
Doesn't it start with that? Like, I remember it starting with that.
Right.
And then I thought about it, and I was like, I think it's because in Home Alone, he puts in the Grinch tape, and it starts with that.
Oh, okay.
So I've always associated the beginning of the Grinch with "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," but it doesn't start with that. It starts very subtly.
Yeah.
With just a snowflake.
You also...
On the screen.
You also, if you've seen the
other
movies...
And a long credit
movies,
sequence with no singing.
Right, right, right. And also, Cindy Lou Who
is in it for like 4 seconds.
Right. She's the only character, and in the book, both the book and the movie, other than Max, she's the only character besides him.
Yeah.
And she's not special. She doesn't inspire him in any way.
No.
We just have all that from the other movies and stuff. But she's just a girl who catches him.
And sort of an association with like Tiny Tim, I think.
Right, right.
Where it's like the child, that the angelic child that makes him change his mind.
Cindy Lou Who is voiced by June Foray, who's Rocket J. Squirrel in Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes, I did know that.
And also Granny from Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm. I have some stupid notes here because I just, at one point I was just live blogging.
Sure,
and I was just like, at one point it's like I noticed that I know he's supposed to have termites in his smile, but I was like, his teeth look really white.
Yeah.
So I wrote, why are his teeth so nice?
Wait, do you have this
but
problem?
But then he smiled and I put, never mind, they're white, but busted.
Nice. Well done. You got him.
What?
I resent that they say he's got garlic in his soul. Like, that's such a bad thing.
It's very anti-ethnic Italian.
I know. I've got garlic in my soul, and I have no problem
with
it.
Some of those lyrics are really, they're fun, though.
No, it is. The whole song's fun. And I like, this is another thing that I don't think I remember until you watch it, is it's throughout the whole thing. They break it down into three parts.
Yeah.
Like, first you hear it in the montage when he's making the suit, then when he's first stealing shit,
yeah.
Then after he meets Cindy Lou and sends her to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like throughout.
I wrote down his snaking. It was really upsetting to watch.
It's weird, right?
It's really weird. I don't know what it was. I was just like, oh God, I don't like this.
Why is he doing it?
Why is he doing it? How is he moving like
you
that?
You think that was the main inspiration for Matthew Morrison's
Sexy
Grinch?
That's so upsetting.
By the way, you know what he said was his actual inspiration?
What?
Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
God, of course he would say that.
Boy, what a misfire.
I put some stupid notes. I put, okay, so he hates noise. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
And then I get it too. And then what did I put? I was very upset by Roast Beast.
Why?
Because I was like, what is this animal? It has a tail. It just upset me. And then it seemed to have no bones at the end when they were cutting it.
Yeah. Everything's different in Whoville.
In Whoville. It was kind of weird.
Janine brought up a good point, which is in every adaptation, Whoville grows till the Benedict Cumberbatch one, it's a city. It's a full-blown city. In this, it's a tiny village. There's
seemingly
like 10...
in the mountains, hidden from the world.
Right. And there's like 10 Who houses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a big deal. Whereas like by the third one, there's thousands of houses.
You know what else is, and I didn't write this down, but I did write this down. Is Grinch his name or his species type? Because he says he is a Grinch. So does that mean that his last name is Grinch? Or is he the green creature a Grinch? Are there other Grinches?
He's never been consistent with it. Because the term Grinch appears in an earlier Seuss book, but it doesn't look anything like the Grinch that we know. But it is kind of a bad person. But then, like, there's a Walkin' in My Pocket. There's a character that looks just like the Grinch, and they give it a species name.
But
which,
is he mean?
I don't remember. No, it's weird. The Grinch.
Yeah, it's confounding.
Yeah.
It really is weird when you think about it. And it's like, what inspired this? It's like, he's just like a furry green. And am I wrong? In the original illustrations, they were black and white. Right.
Right?
So he was not green. Until
right. It's Chuck Jones' idea
Chuck
to make
Jones
him
made
green.
Him green.
Right.
Which is so weird because I just watched a TikTok the other day about how, why is the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz green? And it was like theories about why they chose to make her skin green because she's not in the book.
Anti-green.
Yeah.
Anti-green sentiment.
Or like a coded reference to like race.
Probably. I mean, probably.
Like this person looks different, has different skin color than everyone else.
Right, right, right. No, I agree. Especially the Jim Carrey one because it's like when he's a little kid, people like treat him like shit just because he looks different.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. By the way, the Grinch's eyes are yellow with red pupils.
Yes.
But when he turns good in this, they turn white with blue. But from shot to shot, it'll go back and forth, which is just an animation error.
Right. Well, it's looked kind of... I was thinking, like, it looks like they kind of made this on the cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what's interesting is, in a way to try to make him more cuddly, the Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch always has white pupils with... white eyes with green pupils, not blue pupils.
So the green matches his...
So they got... But unlike Jim Carrey, the Benedict Cumberbatch doesn't have the yellow and red eyes. Because and red is a real statement.
Yeah, it's really scary. He's scary. He's unpleasant to look at. He's also like... His green is very like... It's like a puke green.
Right.
In
supposedly
the original cartoon.
Supposedly the green gets lighter when he gets happier at the end. I don't know if I see that.
I didn't notice that.
His green looks real disgusting in The Grinch... Grinch's The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
Looks way cheaper.
It's like a mustard color.
He looks terrible in that.
He does. He doesn't even look like himself.
Right. And the voice is not Boris Karloff.
No, not at all. That's a weird ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the biggest thing. So, yeah. You know, Seuss often said that the Grinch is based on him, which I think, since we know about his, how much of a dick he was, I'm fine with that. Makes sense.
So wasn't he an anti-Semite too?
He drew an anti-Semitic cartoon to get into a fraternity in college. Nope. Because I thought he was like a
raging anti-Semite like some other beloved children's yeah, I was thinking, authors.
No, you're thinking more of
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl, yeah. Or some people say Disney, but there's not a lot of proof of
There's really no proof of the Disney
Disney was just anti-union, and the head of the union, the person who was trying to make a union, was Jewish.
Right.
I would say, like, Disney, there's plenty of real reasons to dislike him.
Roald Dahl, though, was like a serious anti-Semite.
Yeah, he was serious about it.
I think I remember reading that, like, even like at the end of his life, he was just like, I'm sorry, I just don't like them.
I just don't. They're witches and they eat children.
Yeah, and I could be making that up, but I have that memory in my
head. Well, it's funny, you know, the blood libel thing is such a big part of QAnon, but it's such an old idea of, like, Jewish people eat babies and stuff.
Oh, my God.
That's basically the witches is a blood libel story.
Do we have that hard evidence that he was in it to somebody, or am I making that up?
I think we do. I think he has said... Okay. I think there are quotes of him saying things.
That's very upsetting.
Yeah.
So, like, what's December 26th like for the Grinch?
I don't know.
What's Boxing Day like? Is he just good now?
Well, I don't know.
Is he still a grump, but he is like, all right, Christmas is all right?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Because Scrooge really becomes like a new man, and he gives away all of his money.
Yeah, he flips.
Yeah. I mean, it's charming and it's cute and it's short. I think if it were any longer than it is, it would be like, all right, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it's like, it's a narrative that you just know, right? You know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. There's like three beats.
Right.
I'm going to do it. I do it. Oh, no, I feel bad about doing
it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we did it. I think we completed another holiday special. Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.